Blog Talk Radio.
Time is taking flight. Now we have to tell if it's worth the fight.
Hello and welcome to Kyle's Conversation. This week on The Conversation, we're going to talk real personal about life and death, losing close friends, and basically life in general. There's a Matthew West song called Do Something. And he says, you know, I shook my fist at heaven and said, God, why don't you do something? He said, I did. I created Obama. No, he created you. Also, we're going to talk about love and what's going to move this country forward. You know, the Republicans blaming Democrats, Democrats blaming Republicans, and nothing getting done. It's not going to fix anything. It's going to, how is love in the picture? Also, we're going to talk about, like, North and South Korea. Are they ever going to change? Where's Kim Jong-un? Where's that guy? Also, there's a photo of Barack Obama with his hands on the back of George Bush and Bill Clinton, and they're walking in by the White House, and it says, if you think to get rid of Obama is going to change stuff, then you don't understand the problem. And also, NASCAR and the Premier League moving forward, my thoughts on that and more. So welcome to the program, folks. What a week it's been. I don't know if you haven't seen Going Back Show from Monday. It's free. Check it out. Look at it. My dog is going nuts. Check it out. It's very, very interesting. He has had major medical issues that are being reversed, and he's had to think about his life and where it's going. And I've been there, and I've done that. I've had to examine my life and where it's going. I mean, when you lose 6 of your close friends your senior year of high school, it makes you evaluate life and makes you realize that you can't die. I remember me and Brian Denham were going down the road and there was a stop sign and he yelled at me, stop! And I didn't notice it and I slammed on the brakes and we went a quarter of the way through the intersection, and if Brian Denham wouldn't have seen that stop sign, we would have hit a cop car sideways at like 40 miles an hour. I mean, I probably wouldn't even be here today. And we pulled over to the other side of the road, and we were there for like an hour. We couldn't do anything. I mean, we got out of the car, and we just sat on the side of the road. And I think someone asked us if we're okay, what's wrong, and we couldn't even speak. And I think Brian said, we're fine. And just, we lost it. But just one of those things. I just makes you wonder about life and where it's going. You know? Because you sit there and you're like, wow. Like, if he wouldn't have seen that stop sign, I don't know where we'd be right now. That's what I call divine intervention. It's God. So it's just one of those things, you know, that makes you, a lot of things affect your life. So, and you take a little bit of everything from everybody and you say, where do you go? How do you move on? I mean, like, someone, I don't know how, I'm trying to figure it out. And I ask a guy to be my best man. And, well, the guy who I want to have as my best man can't be because he died my senior year in high school, and that's Kyle Jones. And when he died, I just, wow. It just makes you wonder, makes you think about how quickly life can end. I remember in October, my senior year, four of my best friends were killed in a car crash going 80 miles an hour and hit a tree. And the car was split in half, and my buddy Jared Hasser was split in half. Rusty Reed, Travis Crawford, and Craig Bowers all died. And I remember I was at McDonald's working, and my buddy goes, "If I wouldn't have missed my house arrest curfew, I wouldn't be here right now, man. I wouldn't be here right now." He was freaking out. And I said, "My mom makes me think about that every day." And I'm like, and it changed his life. He turned around 100%, man. And I remember JR's mom, she did an open casket, and they had to basically, this is not really pleasant to talk about, but they had to basically put him back together because he was cut in half. And she goes, "I want you to see what happens. That you, hopefully you'll wake up. Hopefully you'll see the furies of your ways. You know, hitting a tree at 80 miles an hour. That's why when I see NASCAR and I see a guy do six flips going 190 miles an hour into a wall, I'm like, okay, if there's a piece bigger than an inch of him left, good luck." Well, you know, and then like 20 minutes, 30 minutes later, well, he's on the way to the hospital because we don't really know if, you know, is it, so this is life-threatening? Yes, it is. It is life-threatening. I'm like, you kidding me? I guarantee you they know he's dead. They're just waiting to tell the family and stuff so that they can have like 40 minutes of grieving before the whole world finds out. It's just one of those things. And just you know. I mean, I was watching IndyCar. It was in 97, and Paul and, you know, and Greg Moore went to the wall. I'm like, there's no way he survived. There ain't no way. And, you know, and they, well, you know, and one of the answers is, this life-threatening? You know, like, are you kidding me? How would there be a piece bigger than an inch of him left? And it's like, yes, this is life-threatening. Yes, he's been flown to Loma Linda, the hospital. And then they went back to him and you know, like 45 minutes later and said he didn't make it to an hour. And I'm like, you just told me the inevitable. And, you know, and lots of things wake you up and shake you up. And what Glenn went through shook him up. And, you know, mine, I've just realized, and I think my girlfriend knows this, I don't take anything for granted. I don't take a day for granted. I don't want to have a day where I don't tell her I love her or don't do something for her, because you never know when it's the last time you say hi to your mom. You know, maybe she slips in the bathroom and hits her head, bang, there you go. And you didn't say, love you, mom, love you, dad. You know, life's too short in this world. And when you lose six friends your senior year of high school, that comes directly obvious. And majorly obvious. And my one boss, Brendan, used to say I was like the angel of death, because like I had so many of my friends that had passed. And I'm like, no, just because they died, I had nothing to do with it. You know, I was friends with Shannon Hoon from Blind Melon. And he was just like he put his pants on both legs one at a time, just like every other human being. I used to joke, I saw him one time, I said, do you put your pants on, do you jump into your pants, or do you put them on one leg at a time? He goes, what the hell kind of crack question is that? I put them on one leg at a time like everyone else. Oh, okay. So just because you're on SNL and David Letterman and stuff, and you're just a normal human being like everyone else, you know. And everyone teaches you life lessons, whether it's a scoutmaster or a priest or a good friend. And you got to learn from that, and that's what's going to move this country forward. You know, this, well, you know, take Obama out of the White House. How's that going to fix anything? He's not the problem. Well, he is now because he's in the White House. George Bush was the problem when he was in the White House. You know, everyone wants to keep cutting spending, but no one wants to do anything about it. Well, sure you want to cut spending, but then why does the debt ceiling keep rising, you know? North Korea and South Korea, I want to talk about next. Because they have I don't know if you know about North Korea and South Korea, at the DMZ, at the Demilitarized Zone, I love history. I love anything like history, learn about World War II, Korean War, anything. They have a Demilitarized Zone, and that's where they have like landmines and all kinds of electrical fences, and you can't cross. And on the North Korean side, right near there, they put up these beautiful buildings, which are like a facade, you know, to get people from the south to go to the paradise in the north. Well, North Koreans believe in what's called a GJ ideology, and that's where Melissa Sisko is their leader, and she created everything, and she is God, and you bow down to her, and she will run that country even when she's dead, and what she believed, they believe, you know, like, sort of like Wendy's, like I talked about a couple weeks ago, you know, or maybe even a couple months ago, where what would Dave Thomas do? And I think that's what the Blaze Network would be like. What would Glenn do? What would Glenn want for this network if he wasn't here? Remember, like he said, we're changing the name. It's not going to be GBTV because it's not just about me. You know, this country is not just about a Republican Party or a Democratic Party. They're the problem. It's about everybody. North Korea and South Korea, they have a table at this one area where if you go over here, you're in North Korea, this side, you're in South Korea, just set up for talks. They can't even do that because there's no love. No love between them. None. And that's one of the big, big things. Love is going to move us forward. Love is giving someone, okay, if that guy's got $50 million and he's homeless and he's still begging for money, I'll give him a dollar. But I'll also, if I have a day off, I'll say, hey, you know, I'll offer them something, you know. As a employer, offer them work, you know, because they will get to the point where, what do I have to do anything? They'll just hand me money. I can just sit here. The people that really want to work will work, and the people that don't. But do you want to know what kind of judge I am? I don't judge. I'm not God. I don't have a problem against gays, lesbians, or whatever. You do what you do. I'll give you, like one of my friends, she asked for like money for gas. I gave her $15. I'll never see it. I don't care. It's not the point. God didn't say, well, let me see here. He didn't ask for a bill because he cured a person of leprosy. You know, what does the Bible say? I am the way and the truth and the light. No one can get to the Father except through me. You know, do unto others as is done unto you. And that's where we are, my friends. You know, a true deadhead is someone that if you dropped a $50 bill, here you go, you dropped your money. They would, you know, like this one old guy said on the, there's a videotape that has the last Grateful Dead tour, and he goes, any one of these people here, if you fell down, there's someone here that would pick you up and take you, and, you know, and where is that, you know? Like, going back to the North Korea and South Korea thing I'm talking about, there's none of that. There's no North like in the South. There was some North that were supposedly working with the South to try to come together, and they were ambushed and killed. There's no love there. Love is going to change that, folks. Coming together. Things I've been talking about, you know, before, you know, going back, did his thing. You know, when I was diagnosed with my myopathy, I had to really evaluate my life, okay? I guess I've always been like a Dale Senior. What would you do if you can't cook anymore and you know, what? Because they ask him, what would you do if you couldn't be a race car driver anymore? You couldn't drive a car? He goes, I'd drive a race car. And I don't know what I'd do. I'd cook. I mean, give me a... I'd start a company. Okay, we're gonna come up with an NSF-approved mobile chair that you can move around so you can still cook and be in the kitchen. Maybe it's a way that it supports you so you can pretty much be almost standing up, but you're not using any of your muscles. You're just sitting down at the same time, you know, so it's smaller and whatever. You know, long walks for me aren't the greatest, and they kill me, but I would love to have, like, one of those stand-up motorized scooters. But, you know, there's no line. You either need a wheelchair or you don't. There's no middle ground, you know, per se of, okay, well, you know, the guy used it in Mall Cop. I forget what the heck they're called now. They have the two wheels and they're the motorized scooter thing. Those things are like 10 grand for the one, you know, for like a basic one I'm looking at. I'm like, okay, screw that. I guess I'm just going to have to go through long walks. But you know what? I'll just put it to God and he'll get me through it. He has. And that's what, you know, going back to where he is today because of God, not because of, you know, some accident or some whatever, you know. He is where he is because of God and his faith and his love. And that's what this country needs, because my girlfriend said this last night, and my mom is kind of the same way, and so am I. All you do is turn on the news, and there's nothing negative. It's all positive, happy-go-lucky stories. Wrong. There's nothing, you know, a football player that sits there and takes a knee, and when he does, he kind of prays, and he's penalized, and, you know, shootings, and this and that. And our news is censored. So, it's just one of those things that it's just how we are. We are. Our news is censored. I mean, if you watch the BBC World, there's a lot of stuff that goes on that you don't hear or see. But it's like, I want to hear something good. I want to hear the good news. That's why I watch the 700 Club a lot. Because at least they have positive stories. You know, you get to hear something good. You know, they don't talk too much about the polar vortex. Yay. Which I'd love to know that. If anyone knows where all these things came from, because I don't ever remember hearing about the El Niño and El Niño. Well, because it's an El Niño year, you're going to have the Gulf Stream, the stream is going to go like this, you know, the jet stream, and not like that, and it's actually going to bring warmer air, so it's going to be a lot warmer than normal. Well, since this is this type of year, it's going to, I don't remember this, I remember it being, you know, no one knew. You read the Farmer's Almanac. How do you know it's time to start planting? Farmer's Almanac says so. Is Farmer's Almanac always right? Always. I would put my life on the line for the Farmer's Almanac. That's how us country folk, you know, us Indiana people, that's a Bible to us, you know. I never remember, even when I was in, like, in 97, about La Niña, and see, what happens is there's warm air in the south, and it comes up here, and it warms, and I don't remember that, all this. Every year, it seems like there's a different name for something to explain that we're going to have a bad winter or a mild winter. I guess it's like my muscle doctor, John Kincaid. I love him. He speaks English. Okay, buddy, you got a gas station. It ain't working. You know, most people's body naturally fills up with gas. Yours doesn't do it, and the gas you need, we really can't put in you. Thanks. You know, he explained it in English. Well, what we got here says we got a binary contusion on the left tergifer of the right femedra. Huh? Well, see, I mean, okay, I don't see anything wrong with that. Well, if you see there's a hairline crack that goes straight through that with any type of pressure at all, it will break and you'll snap your foot in half. My foot, why didn't you say it was my foot? I thought that was my head. You know, just say we're going to have a bad winter or a good winter. What's all this La Nina, La Nino, and Arctic? Well, Arctic man, winter is going to be up here, and he's going to really just say it's going to be good or bad. You know, speak English. I don't remember all this El Nina, El Nino, you know. English. Speak love. You know. How I got started talking about the weather, I have no idea. Probably because that's what a lot of people don't consider, you know, positive and encouraging news, you know. Well, it's positive and encouraging if you're a serial killer. News is great. But most of us aren't. It's like this one lady, like yesterday, she has kept, I need this, I need that, I need this on this microphone. And I told Malcolm, I said, you know what? Luckily, I'm a godly man because I'd be mad right now. And he just busted out laughing. But it's because I try to look at the good in things. I try to look at, okay, let me listen to your point of view. Let me see what Rachel Maddow has to say. Let me see what Lawrence O'Donnell has to say. Okay, watching that video over and over again of Mitt Romney and Obama being for sure, if we show that video, okay, and that's, I don't understand how that solves the problem. Okay, if you get Obama out and you put Hillary Clinton in, what's the difference? What difference does it make if you get rid of Obama, put in Hillary Clinton? What difference does it make? That was pretty good. I like that one. But it's true, folks. Arguing all day about how bad Hillary Clinton is ain't going to fix the problem. It's not going to fix it. What's going to fix it is coming together and saying, hey, give me your hand. I'll pick you up. Let's do this together. Helping your neighbor, being there. I remember a time when you could give your neighbor a house key. Look after my house when I'm gone. Nowadays, you do that, heck, you wouldn't have a house when you came back. I mean, I was watching I think it was an ABC special, and they went into this dealership, like five of them in New York, these lots, and they basically blew a fuse. And that's why the windshield wipers wouldn't work. And they went in there. One, the guys went in there and they paid $70 to get a fuse replaced. The women went in there. They had to rewire it for like $170, which they didn't rewire. They, I think, changed the fuse. They said they needed a new air filter. And right before they went into that shop, they put in a brand new air filter. I said, how'd this get this dirty? We put a brand new one in a block away. Well, it must have fallen on the ground. It's not going to get this dirty if it just fell on the ground. Then they said they needed a PVC valve. And it's like, the one they were given back that they said was theirs doesn't even fit their car. Not even the right. And it's just so sad that, you know, that people take advantage of people. And the one lady that went in the cover was a mechanic. That was great. But that's a lot about what you hear. You don't hear the mechanic that says, I know you just bought this car and stuff's wrong with it, but, you know, we'll fix it free of charge. You don't hear the good stories. You hear all the undercover stuff, but where are the good stories? Where's the people doing the right thing stories? And I think that's where the Blaze is going to be going, showing stories and films about the positives and about, hey, you know what, we're going to do, we're not going to rely on the government. Yeah, this factory shut down and half our jobs are gone. We're not going to rely on the government. We're going to do it ourselves. And that's where we're at in this world. We need to rely on each other. Because you think about it, and this is how I shut one liberal up one time. I'm like, well, how do you think our forefathers made it? They didn't have a government to rely on. They had to do it themselves. Like this, someone sent me this cartoon and had two lines. I had a guy at this booth and a guy at this booth and a guy at this booth. It said, like, hard work, sacrifice, you know, no guarantees and all this. And had over here free stuff and had, like, 80 people in the line of the free stuff. And the guy where it was hard work and diligence and bust your butt, nobody. Because everyone wants free stuff. No one wants to do anything. But they don't know what they're going to get for their free stuff. And I told this to someone once, like a couple of days, and he goes, well, what do you mean? I know what I'm getting for free. I said, no, what are you going to get for the free stuff? Like, you may get an Obama phone, but what's going to happen because of that phone? Are you going to be, is your mom going to die because of it? Are you going to be taxed 10 times? I mean, when I sit there and realize I made more in 97 as an intern, making less money than I do right now, because of all the taxes they take out, it's nuts. It's nuts. Yeah, my sister, like, was going to look into going to see Third Day, and I think the tickets she looked at were like $40 with tax. I'm like, welcome to the real world. You know, by the time, well, at least Ticketmaster is being honest and saying, okay, our tickets are $50, and it's a $39 ticket, but with the fees, it ends up being $50 or whatever. That's how this works, you know. And she's just, like, so frustrated, and I'm like, well, do something. You know, I try to get the word out through my radio program, and say, hey, this is what's going on, folks. We need to come together. It's not a Democratic, this stuff is not Democrat or Republican issues. Get every Republican out of Congress and put in all the Democrats. How's that going to solve anything? You know, if you look, where did it go? George Herbert Walker Bush, Republican. Bill Clinton, Democrat. George Bush, Republican. Barack Obama, Democrat. See? Republican, Democrat. Republican, Democrat. Republican, Democrat. They keep voting. How in the heck can you have a 10% approval rating but have 90% re-election? It's because most people don't care. Oh, this is just a little midterm thing. Who cares? I'm not going to. When some of the best, there are some really great candidates that want to change this country, but no one goes into the midterms and votes for the you know, they have elections in, like, May to see who's going to run in the primaries. They have, like, a little election, okay? And if you vote this person in, he's going to run. We had an independent person run for sheriff. He beat the Democrat. People, the Republican Party doesn't want to have you vote for independents or libertarians. They want to keep their stronghold. Now, do you want to have a change from the inside, or do you want to have a new party? Well, you know, who knows? But you got to look at it from a standpoint of love and coming together and saying, enough's enough. We need to be here for the people. We need to, as a country, if the people change and media changes, then maybe this country will change. You know, point out the people that are, hey, he's being paid. Why aren't you asking the hard questions? Maybe you need to be a reporter that is not going to Obama, but going to the reporters and saying, hey, why aren't you holding him accountable? Oh, I'd love to know why CBS isn't being held accountable for the fact that they had a piece of paper that says, hey, we knew Obama let people die and did nothing. Why aren't we holding people accountable? If we change, the world can change. Like that girl that went to Uganda that Matthew West wrote a song about. Do something. And the guy's like, you gotta go. You gotta come back. She goes, no, I can't. And she now lives there and runs an orphanage. She doesn't know how to run an orphanage. Okay, what do I do? I got to do something. I got to do something. She didn't have any experience. She didn't have a... Here's your certificate from the University of Phoenix online that says you can run an orphanage. No, she did something. Instead of like, well, I don't have a job. Do something. Create something. Make something happen. Something happen. That's what's going to change this country. So many people are like, you know, well, the government, well, I'm not going to, well, this is, well, excuse me, what was that? I couldn't understand a word you're saying. Get off your butt. Do something. Make it happen. Sitting in your bedroom ain't going to find you a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Getting out there. Just know this. And this is what I believe. And just do something. You may not go, your life may not go the path or the road you want it to, but God has a reason. God has a plan for your life, I believe. And trust in Him, and He will show you the light. And He will show you the way and the truth. Because I'm not here. I wouldn't be here with Him if it wasn't for Him. And you can sit there, and I had one guy question me big time. He goes, so why did your friend die in 9/11 and not you? Why would God spare you and not him? I'm like, well, first of all, he is from New York. So I didn't go back home. I did. I went back home to Indiana. He went back to where his hometown was and was living with his mom. In New York City. I'm not from New York City. That's the first off. Okay. Second off, what do you think would happen if God granted everyone's wish, we wanted to win the lottery, and there was a $5 million lottery, and there's 22 million people that wanted to win it, and he gave the winning numbers to all 22 million people, and it's a $5 million lottery. What would they get, like half a cent? You know, God doesn't say, don't give an explanation or anything. He just says, be there. He'll protect you. He'll be there. He'll give you the strength, the courage to go forward. You just got to make the move and say, okay, I'm going to do something. I'm not going to rely on the government. I'm going to do stuff myself and sit there and say, look at what we did, and we didn't need you. We didn't need England to start this country, so why do we need the government to keep it going? Because, you know, we didn't need the English government to keep this country here started, to get this started. That's why we have gun rights, so we can keep ourselves protected from the British government. You know, the British government didn't keep this country going, but now all of a sudden, oh, we can't, this country can't keep going without the government. Well, who is the government? That's you. So basically what they're telling you is, it's code for we need your money to keep us spending. You know, I can't live the lavish lifestyle I have without the government. And that's you. So your taxes are going to keep going up and up and up so that they can have their $500 million hotel room when they go on vacation. Yeah. You can really, if you really are a political nerd like me, you can decipher all kinds of stuff. You know, like I tried to explain to people who wouldn't get it, and I'm like, okay. So Barack Obama just gave a State of the Union address where he basically rendered everyone in the government useless, and they're cheering him on. It'd be like going to a company meeting for Chevrolet, and the CEO comes out and says that we have these brand new robots that can do every job on the assembly line, and the people go cheering. Why would you cheer? He's basically saying these robots can eliminate you, and they'll probably do it better, faster, more efficient, and get a lot more done. Okay? Why would you cheer him on? That you're going to lose your job. Well, that's what they did at the State of the Union addresses. You know, learn about life, and you never know when something you're going to need to know it. I'm a tinker like my dad. I like to make my own little things. You know, there's a LTD commodities book that has a little wine cork thing that you can stick in a wine bottle or whatever type of bottle, and it fits in there, and you can make a lamp out of it. I'm like, I want to get some of those. So, you know, and do something, because you can take and put, like, different sands in the bottle and make, like, a design with the sand in the bottle. You can do all kinds of different stuff in the bottle, whatever. You can get, like, a look around for a wine bottle. Who cares what it is, just if it looks cool, and use it. You know, they have ones, they have, like, tequila bottles that have, like, a, what do they call it? They have, like, a cactus inside the bottle. And if you're going to do a Southwest country theme in your home, there you go. You know, always, always, always learn how to do something, because you never know when it's going to come in handy. You know, you don't have food storage or water storage because you're a paranoid person. You have it because you're having it for a rainy day. You know, we got these sump pumps for a rainy day. We pray to God. You don't sit there building fire departments praying that there's a fire. You hope there's not a fire, but if there is a fire, you hope that the fire department can come and help you. You don't have a gun to kill people. You have a gun in case you need it. And you pray to God you never have to use it. And you pray you're able to just put the gun in the air, pull the trigger once, and scare the people off. You know, learn as much as you can. I cannot believe how many people that I work with that are like, when I was your age, I was working all day. I was going to school, working for like 5 hours after school, then partying all night, then getting up and going to work again, then doing it again, and then Sunday doing homework, and then going to school on Monday. And these kids now, I'm so tired. You know, they're like late. It's called lazy. They don't want it. You know, I'm sure if there was girls sitting there naked kicking it, those guys would be all over that, or vice versa. You know, if there was alcohol, they'd be all over that. If it was to go get free money, I bet you could get up there. You know, I can't do this obstacle. Well, at the top of each obstacle, there's $50. Now let me see here. Let me see. How can I just walk across the top of each obstacle just to get the $50? They just want money. They don't want to do anything. They don't want to work. And it's sad, because that's our generation coming forward. You know, I work with people that are future leaders, and Lord help me. Lord help me. You know, I guess for me the hardest thing is when you watch a program and they're like, folks, if you turned, I think it was 18 or 21 at the time, I forget, I didn't do the math, I apologize, but when the Colts played the Bears, they said if you turned, I think it was 21 this year, you weren't alive to see the last time the Bears won the Super Bowl. And I'm like, dang, I remember when they played and they took on the New England Patriots and they blew them out of the water, and the Bears, they did the Super Bowl shuffle and they had the halftime show. And I think that's the hardest thing for me is to, okay, if you turned 18 today, you were not alive to have seen Kurt Cobain. And like, you know, most kids, if you turn like 18 this year, you were not alive to remember like MTV Unplugged. I miss MTV. I miss those, I mean, you know, with the music stuff. Alice in Chains, incredible. You know, but it was a different time. I felt safer. I didn't feel like, I felt like maybe it wasn't any better, but I felt like I could, there was love in the air, and I can talk to people, and I can do something for someone, and I knew I'd get a dollar back. You know? I remember we used to have a our neighbor used to have our house key. I don't know if I could, I mean, it's hard to, at least where I am, there's probably someone you could give a house key to and they would watch your house. Most people on here are really, really good people. So, but it's not always the case anymore. And that's, and that falls back onto the four-letter word, love. But yeah, I mean, I know somewhat what Glenn Beck's going through. When you have, when they can't give me a true 100% diagnosis, if I have myopathy, and then that's all they can tell me, and when you have like something that no one can see, like pain and issues that no one can see, especially if you have like I have often on like a restless leg syndrome. When you have that, and you like have to move your legs, and no one can understand because I can't see anything, and they're like, okay, this guy's psycho. No, I'm not schizophrenic. I know there's not ants on my leg that I'm trying to get off and aren't really there. It's just, I guess I say a lot of personal stuff on my show because it's my choice. I want you to say, hey, you understand, you know, we need to be honest with people. Say, hey, this is who I am. Take me or leave me. This is what we need to do. I want to, you know, if you want an Obama phone, get an Obama phone. I on the other hand, want to sit there and okay, well, I'm gonna do stuff. I want it for myself. I want to help myself. I don't want to rely on anyone except for the hey, he's gonna come over and help me build this. He's going to help me do this. You know. But that's where we're at, folks. Coming together and hopefully having positive things coming out more and more and more. And that's what I want to, try to do is try to find, talk about some things that are positive. Not necessarily negative. You know, things that are going on right in this country. You know? And I think that's what's going to help. And that's what I guess I've just been, you get so frustrated. Like, well, okay, well, this is how it goes. And this is how it goes. And this is how it goes. Well, it doesn't go in one direction. It can go in two directions. You don't have to, okay, you know, if you don't like what someone's doing, say something, do something. You know, a teacher needs to stand up. Well, lose your job now. You know, we're so caught up in this idea that, well, I have to, this is, okay, I'm stuck with Comic. No way. I don't know how. I couldn't. I'd be like, okay, if I have to teach Comic Code, I'm done. I quit. And I'd be going on TV. Yep, I'm quitting school, and I'm going to tell you why, and I want to have a spot on the news. And I'd be like, this goes to all the parents out there. I'm not teaching anymore because, okay, I don't mind if kids want to learn about Allah and all that stuff, but there's nothing about God, nothing about Christianity, there's nothing about Buddhism, there's nothing about, you know, nothing. There ain't nothing about Judaism. Okay, if you smoke weed at all, you should read the Bible. Because what does it say in the very beginning? Jesus is the, God is the Most High. And the first dealer, that was Moses, because he talked to the burning bush. I love that. That they've been teaching strong lies, but it's just funny. But it's the truth. I don't mind if my kid had to learn about the five pillars of the Muslim faith, as long as they learned about what Buddhists believe and what, you know, Mormons believe and what Christians believe and what Jews believe and what Hare Krishnas believe. Jehovah's Witnesses, what they believe. And you're not just, okay, well, we're only talking about this, we're not talking about any other religion, because that's wrong. Oh, but it's whatever. Whatever, you know. No one has, along with love comes morals and values and a standard, and that's, so many people don't have a status quo. This is what I have to do to keep my job because I don't care, because I don't want to lose it, and I'm just going to, you know, I'm just going to switch. But you got to be like a guy with a gun with 50 people at you. You got to know when to shoot and when to not, just like poker. When you play poker, you want to win a poker? You just have to do one thing. Kenny Rogers said it all. You got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. Know when to walk away and know when to run. Don't ever count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. Follow those principles and you'll win a poker. Guarantee. You got to have a poker face too, because if you got a good hand and you can't act like you have a crappy hand, or you can't act like a stagnant face, then you're going to lose every time, because they're going to say, oh, look at that man, he smiled, he knew he got a good hand. Now, if you can smile like you got like a good hand even though you don't, and fake them out, go ahead. But you got to have morals and values and standards. You know, if you believe something, stand up for it. Don't just, how are you going to change anything if you just, well, come on course, I lay of the land, and that's what I have to do. It's like John Boehner. Oh, well, Obamacare is the lay of the land now. Okay, like, you have no spine. If you're true, you say, hey, he's probably getting so much money from this Obamacare crap into his own personal bank account that he can't do anything. It's called lobbyists, that we're not supposed to have any. It's this transparent government we're supposed to have. You know? Have morals and values and stand up for them. Even if you're, you know, like, if you ever saw the movie Courageous, the dad tells his son, he goes, son, I want you to do one thing. I want you to stand with God and Jesus, even if it means you're standing alone. All right. Enough of that 60s piece of love and hippie stuff. Now we're going to go on to NASCAR and motorsports and football. What a season. This new chase format where basically like the top four keep going on and on. Like at the end of the season, at the last race, they got four drivers that can contend for the championship. I think it'd be neat to see if they went off of last year's point system, who would have won, who would be winning right now. But it's Kevin Harvick, Ryan Newman, Joey Logano, and Denny Hamlin that are there for the potential win of the championship. I got to go with Ryan Newman just because he's a local boy, went to Purdue University and some South Bend, so. But my mom likes Happy Harvick, so we'll see. It's just so unique. I mean, it's different, and I actually like it, believe it or not. It's just, I guess they were hoping that this chase format would enable drivers to have more of a chance to win. And when it got to the point where all he has to do is start this race, and Jimmy Johnson will pretty much clinch the NASCAR Spring Cup Championship. And it just got to be like, well, I think they lost a lot of viewership because, okay, here we go. You know, all he has to do is pass the start finish line, and he's won the race. He's won the championship. I'm going to have, like, at least two drivers fighting for a championship in the last race to make it interesting. And this has four. And I like that. It's something different. And it is. It's really, I just wish they could find some common ground on a format and stay with it instead of it changing every time. You know, but that's just me. You know, I just wish I would. You know, because you think you figured out the format, and then it goes again, and then they change it, and this happens, and that happens, and I don't know. That's the only thing that frustrates me about some motorsports is when they change lot rules and stuff all the time. But it's fun though. I mean, sometimes that's the hardest part of motorsports is keeping up with the rule changes. You know, whether it's the Tinder Sports Series or it's the Formula One or it's NASCAR or it's IndyCar. Or what have you, Grand Prix series, and you sit there and you're like, well, I thought, no, they changed. I mean, it's almost a full-time job keeping up with how they changed the rules. And, well, last year this happened so much that they had to change this about it, and only at this track, but all the others, and like, okay, but I think it's going to be neat to see four cars that could potentially win the title. To make it very interesting, to where it can go down to the last lap and not have this, okay, all we have to have is JJ start the car and he wins the race. How exciting is that? I mean, that wouldn't excite me if it was Brian Vickers doing it. So I'm like, make it exciting so that at least he has to earn the win on the last race. That's all I can say. And I'm going to switch gears a little bit to the Premier League. Yay. We're now at sixth place. We won. We got a point. But, I mean, teams are playing. We should be able to beat them. I mean, come on. Wolverhampton Wanderers and, like, Swansea City and, clubs like that. We should be able to beat hands over fists. Because me and Saul at work were talking, and I'm like, well, you think about it. And I think I said this last week. David Moyes got the team from Alex Ferguson. They had won a championship. He had the same players Ferguson did. Nothing really changed. And they went, because Chivas Mexico, and I guess they're one step away from going in a bracket that they've never been in. Because I guess once you get to a certain point, then you go to like a lower division, and they're one step away from going to a lower division for the first time in like 100 years. And they're like Manchester United, they're so great, and they're all of a sudden in the tank. And the coach is turning them around. There is very good positives. But that was a much needed 3 points. And it's just, I mean, some of these games are just so close. But I got to tell people, now that he's got the players that he can get, that he wants, they got to learn to play together. And that's going to take time. And they're showing fast improvement. Lots of improvement. And it's good to see that. It's good to see that. It's really, really good to see that. Granted, we beat Crystal Palace 1-0. I mean, like that. Arsenal, I can understand being a struggle. But like a Hull City or a Stoke City or like Crystal Palace, there should be games that should be pretty easily won. Just my thoughts. But I'm confused now because I was looking up the standings and it must have been because it's when I saw it, they're seventh. Sixth, seventh, it's not bad. I'm not complaining. They will get better. So, and they're improving. So, I mean, when you're a fan, you're a fan, and you'll like the team no matter what, no matter thicker fan. And I got about 4 minutes left in the program, folks. And I want to thank all my fans for tuning in to this program. It's, watching Glenn Beck, it was eye-opening because you guys are like family to me. Granted, a lot of you are that listen, but some of you aren't. And the ones that aren't, You know, I guess I want you to realize that life's real. That, you know, we all have, how do you do it every day? How do you bake cakes on the side from time to time and do this and run a support group and all this? I don't know. I just, let me tell you, there's days I just want to rip my hair out and I just want to call in sick for like a week and just get under the covers and just sleep. That's how it is. But at the same time, you know, I gotta do stuff. It's just my nature. Even if it's just watching a movie, cuddling with my girl. I mean, we're gonna watch the Weight Watchers film this weekend, The Hunger Games. Woohoo! Never seen it before, but, you know, I guess I can watch a movie like The Biggest Loser, you know. It looks like it's gonna be a good movie. If she likes it, then it can't be too bad. I'm sure I'll love it when it's all said and done. But I'll probably give you my thoughts on that show next week. But it's just one of those things, man. That's how I just try to let people know, hey, we're all human. We are all human. And, you know, and I think that's what Glenn Beck wants to let people know. I'm just like you. I can have issues too. And I guess when some people wondered what was like, I guess he lost some viewership and stuff because some things that happened, and he wondered, this is what's going on. This is why I did what I did, because I had no choice. I had no choice. I didn't know what was going on, and I really didn't have a full diagnosis. I'm not just going to half-ass say something. So, and that's what I, you know, that's why a lot of things I kept to myself for a long time and didn't say much until I had a clear diagnosis of what was, as much as I can get from the leading muscle history doctor. So, it's just one of those things. But I just want to thank y'all for tuning in and listening to me, and just try to go out there and do something. And you know, try God. If you don't like him, Satan will always take you back. And I want to leave you with something that hope will move us forward, and something that I think about a lot. From John Hancock. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the perfection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. That, my friends, think about that today. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Think about that. I read it twice. Think about that. God bless you. Until next week, have a great day. Goodbye. Thank you.